You like Superchunk?
They're okay.
Their early work was a little too grunge for my taste, but when Foolish came out in 94, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically. The whole album has a clear, crisp sound, and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost. They've been compared to Porta Static, but I think Superchunk has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Craig?
Why are there copies of the style section all over the place? Do you have a dog, a little whippet or something?
No, Craig.
Is that a raincoat?
Yes, it is. In 95, Superchunk released this. Here's where the strings come in. Their most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpiece is Hypernote. The song's so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Craig! Welcome to Nerd Burger, episode 29. I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig.
Hey, Craig, how you doing?
I got an X in my back.
Ooh, sounds like it smarts.
Yeah, it stings a little.
Want to put some
salve
iodine on
that? Some salve, or a balm, some sort of unguent, or lotion. Put my thesaurus away now. Yeah, here we are. Once again, how are you, Mike? Are you better than you were an hour and a half ago? When we recorded the previous episode?
I actually am.
Oh, good.
We had such a good time with you, Adrian. Hi, Adrian.
Hey.
You're still here.
I'm still here.
He's still here.
He's here. Again. As far as we're concerned, he's still here.
Yes. He never left.
To the listeners, he's here again. Because we had a guest who suddenly was not available, and Adrian said, I got nothing better to do. I'll hang around for a while. So here he is again.
With unfinished business.
Yes, with unfinished business, really, I suppose. So as it turns out, we've got some things we can talk about that Adrian knows about as well.
That's right.
So we can get into that, but I think we probably have other little things to talk about. My waiting.
You're waiting?
I've been unemployed in the freelance writing realm.
Yeah.
My waiting is
over.
More or less. I haven't received the project yet, but the guy at that other company has now contacted me and some other people to find out our availability.
Okay.
And there, I guess they're hashing out scheduling and who's going to do what and how they're going to split out the content of what they're looking to get written. So
what kind of freelance writing do you do?
I write for Dungeons & Dragons and other tabletop role-playing games. But this is for somebody that I've never written for before. Brand new opportunity came up.
Written for before?
Correct.
White Wolf?
I can't say.
Are you shackled by a non-disclosure agreement?
Technically, right now, I'm not.
Okay. But you will be.
I'm still going, but I'm going to be, so I'm not going to.
There you go.
Not going to screw that up. But it'll be fun. And someday I'll be able to talk about it. Just not now. I'm not even sure I know what game it is, but I'm not even sure exactly what I'll be working on. It's like, well, I hope it's something that I know how to write. Because I do a lot of monster design and adventures for D&D. That's what most of my work lately has been. They're going to suddenly ask me to do something very different. I'm going to be like, oh.
So what's the concept of monster design? You just sit there and think of, that'd be a cool monster.
Well, I've done stuff that's been like articles that were actual like, oh, here's a series of monsters. Like, here's a bunch of new Duergar, the gray dwarves, the underground evil dwarfy guys.
So what are the
I just came up with some right? different ideas. That's just how they are in the game. I make no judgments. But I came up with some neat ideas because it's like, here's the backstory of what these guys are all about. And I just came up with some ideas and invented some different types of, different variations of those dwarves. And for like fourth edition stuff, the piece of advice I got most often from, a few different people was to think of things cinematically when you design their cool abilities, their powers, is to come up with something that you can envision it. Like if you're watching a movie, like what would that look like in a movie? And then mechanically create that and describe it. And then I write a lot of adventure stuff. So we'll see what happens. I don't know yet. They could suddenly tell me to do this thing that you've never done before.
Yeah. And you have 2 weeks to do it.
Yeah. I hope it's not that quick of a turnaround. I've got a computer to fix.
Right, monkey, right.
There needs to be 9,999 more of me if I'm the writing monkey. We all need typewriters somewhere and we'll write the perfect adventure if you set us to work. That was a really extended attempt at a joke.
What was it that they wrote?
Hamlet.
Shakespeare, yeah.
The great works of Shakespeare or whatever, yeah. So, yeah.
Or they would write, theoretically. Did it happen or not?
No, it happened, yeah.
You put 10,000 monkeys in a room with typewriters?
With typewriters, yeah. They cranked out Shakespeare. It was weird. Actually, they didn't.
The typewriters that still worked because they weren't full of poo and monkey semen and bananas.
Whoa!
Monkey semen?
Although they like to beat off a lot.
That's a... But that's a great example. I can't remember what it was called. I was flipping through like TV tropes where you make the list of three things where there's the two things and then the third thing is the one that's really out of place because you're making a list and it's poo and semen and bananas. Yeah. You know, the other way to do it would have been, you know, bananas and apples.
Bananas lead to poo.
Baby monkey carcasses.
And monkeys. And so I think semen's the outlier there.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
I'm just happy I remembered the technical term and didn't use something I had to bleep.
So, Adrian, how have you been doing since last time you were on the show?
An hour and a half ago. Not even.
20 minutes ago,
yeah.
It's a lifetime ago.
So much has happened. Can't wait to tell you all about it.
Did you enjoy your prize?
Yes.
For hanging around.
Chocolate. They gave me sea salt chocolate with some creamy stuff in the middle.
Whoa. Hey.
Caramel.
Okay.
Caramel.
That's depending. Right. And you were on the episode where we discussed pronunciations across caramel. The country. That's caramel.
And I'm a caramel person, and I went and called it caramel.
It's caramel.
I did
it's
that
caramel.
For you.
No, he didn't.
No, I didn't.
He just calls it both. So. He just happened to this time. Yes, but that was Adrian's prize for hanging around to fill in for the fellow who suddenly had to bow out. Adrian said, okay, I can do it.
Thanks, Allison, and for buying expensive treats.
And I screamed down the stairs to Mike, get Adrian a prize.
And Mike said, okay.
Prize monkey? Prize ape. Bring a prize up the stairs.
Don't make the prize ape laugh when the prize ape is drinking. Cause the prize ape to spit all over the recording equipment.
But I got to try some of that chocolate, and it's really good.
Yeah, it is.
Salty and sweet together.
That's what she said.
You people.
See, it's not just me.
Nah, I know. I know it's not just you. Is there news?
Yes. Dateline, Green Bay and Detroit.
Green Bay, all right.
Now,
that's where I was born.
I'm trying to think of when
in
this
Detroit,
episode
that's
is.
Where I will die. This will be the first episode first episode in October. It'll be about a week in.
Okay, so this will be right after this game.
Well, it'll be like be the 9th.
It'll be right after this game. This is the next game.
After the football game, okay.
Correct. Green Bay is playing Detroit.
Correct.
They will not, however, be playing against Nate Burleson of the Detroit Lions. Do you know, have you heard this?
Tell the story.
Headline, pizza leads to broken arm for receiver with Packers' next opponent. Packers cornerbacks won't have to worry about guarding Nate Burleson of the Detroit Lions in their next matchup, all because of a pizza. Detroit Free Press says Burleson broke his arm in a car crash while, quote, distracted by pizza falling off his front seat. He could miss the entire season.
Now, my question is, did he successfully cover the pizza? Did he protect it? And did he keep it from falling off the seat?
It doesn't say.
So we don't even know if he's a good coverage guy.
No, it's so unfortunate. No, he's a receiver.
Oh, he's a receiver.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so did he catch the pizza
and remain in bounds?
Well, it sounds like he crashed, so no.
No.
He didn't remain in bounds.
Incomplete.
Yeah, there you go.
But have you ever done that? Have you had something on your front seat and been driving and stopped suddenly and had to...
Absolutely.
It's a reflex, right? You can't stop yourself from doing it. Well, if you do that, your arm goes into the dashboard and breaks, apparently. So,
right.
Think about that the next time you find yourself in that situation.
I've done that with food, where you pick up something on the way. I might do it today, because it's going to be after lunch. It's already after lunch. I'll probably grab something to eat. I know where I'm going to grab something to eat from.
Yep.
And I'm going to grab it on the way home, and I may have to...
Now, see, I would never
break my arm protecting whatever I buy from restaurant.
I would never have this problem with pizza, because I know that takeout pizzas, you know, can be greasy and can soak through the bottom of the box. I'm not going to put them on my nice seats and my upholstery in the car.
Okay.
So I always put it on the floor in front of the seat.
Sure. Well, I've done stuff like that where I've put stuff on the floor purposely because I know it's like this thing goes flying onto the floor. I'm not going to like that. Like, every so often I have to take something from work to someplace. I have to take work stuff. So I might have a spec book, loose pages held together by rubber bands that I'm going to drop off at the printer on my way home. That goes on the floor.
Oh yeah.
That doesn't go on the seat. Cause if that goes on the seat and I have to slam on the brakes and those things go flying and those rubber bands break, and then all of a sudden 1200 pages of spec book is flying around the inside of my car. Like one of those cash games.
Yeah, hopefully your windows
are
closed.
Dollars are flying everywhere and you got to grab as many as
cash
you can.
Cab.
Yeah. No, not cash cab. Like, you've seen that. It looks like a phone booth.
Yeah. A big glass.
The money flies around.
Phone booth,
Yeah. Except it's going to be, 1200 pages of a spec that's like, well, I'm never going to put that thing back together.
Right.
Turn around, go back to work, reprint the thing.
You might as well just quit.
Yeah.
Send out your resume.
And then I've got a big stack of resumes in my car, and I'm driving to the post office.
And then you slam on your brakes.
And they go flying everywhere. What's the last thing you've let go flying in your car, Adrian? Let's share the story. I'm sure we've all done something in the last year or so.
Nothing really. I mean, slam on the brakes. I generally reach for the kid.
Sure. So you've successfully caught the kid and stayed in bounds.
I mean, she had a seatbelt on, but instinct, you just reached.
Right.
Sure.
Trying to lock him back.
Well, that's George's dad on Seinfeld.
Seinfeld is stopping short. Yeah.
Reach over and put his hands across somebody's chest area.
Gazangas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you saved the kids. Good job. Mike, have you saved the kids?
I've saved my whatever I've had on the seat. It's usually my work bag.
Sure.
So
that's been the same thing with me. It's usually the bag.
Yeah.
The shoulder tote. Your man purse.
My man purse, exactly. Yeah.
Do you have other news?
I do.
Okay.
First serious science news.
Ooh.
I got some science news.
Do we want to do something silly first and then go to science? Not a trick question.
Okay.
Hear about the Wisconsin guy? Made a Mick everything?
Oh, okay.
Mick everything.
Yeah. Oh, way to go, Wisconsin. My home state.
Tell us about it, Craig.
Dude walked into a McDonald's in Wisconsin, ordered one of every sandwich, and using bamboo skewers and things, he stacked all the pieces together.
Did he do this at the McDonald's?
I guess.
Is there a video?
This was in Wauwatosa. There's a...
Oh, Tosa. Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah, he built a sandwich from all 43 of McDonald's sandwich menu items and called it the McEverything.
How much did that cost him? Did we ever determine that?
$140.33. Wow. Plus whatever he had to pay the priest.
Did he eat it all? There. Did he finish it? That's the question. I'm guessing not.
Gross.
He
used bamboo skewers and a lot of determination to hold the whole thing together, it says.
Now, was the McRib available at this time? Was he able to squeeze that in?
No, this is just now, so no McRib.
Should be coming back.
McWings? The McMighty Wings?
I don't know. It just says 43 different sandwiches. Seems like a lot of sandwiches. You wouldn't think that McDonald's has 43.
Did he go in that magic hour, like right near the end of breakfast? Was he able to order breakfast sandwiches and regular sandwiches, regular burgers?
I don't have enough of the details here. And to be honest, I pulled this up just now because I thought of it when we were scrambling for material for Adrian's second episode here.
Two in a
second
row.
Second row, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just remembered, we haven't done food news in a while.
That's true. We used to do food news a lot.
So it's going to be a big, Shaggy and Scooby sandwich, right? 43 sandwiches, all He has to
Scooby Snacks
dislocate his jaw in order to open it.
Like a snake.
Yeah. So good job, Wisconsin guy. Oh.
Right, rubbing it.
All right, science news.
All right. So we'll stick with the silly and then go to the serious here, or the less serious. Have you heard what Maybe. Scientists have accidentally created?
What have scientists accidentally created?
Well, potentially they have accidentally created a lightsaber.
Really? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
They sent light particles blasting through rubidium atoms. You know how light simultaneously exists as a wave and a particle?
One of those weird things we can't explain.
Right. Photons. Mm-hmm. Well, the photons globbed together and created a molecule.
Whoa!
A light molecule.
And did it slice through a door so that Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn could get out?
No.
Did it chop Darth Maul in half?
No.
Or Ray Park? Did it chop Ray Park in half, the guy who played Darth Maul?
No.
What did it do?
Well, I don't know. I'm reading. Hang on.
Oh, that's...
So it just looks cool.
Well, lightsabers looks cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they didn't make a lightsaber. They just made a molecule of light, which if they can control it, it could potentially
be
a lightsaber.
It could be a lightsaber in that they could make it go, you know, be this long. It will go down here and
they could make
a solid
object out of light, yeah.
And would never
that can cut
just zoom out like a flashlight.
Time. Well,
that's the next challenge.
Yeah, that would be the next step.
What can they do with that light? Yeah.
Can they make it really, really intense and hot?
Add lights hat. Wow.
And there's some other stuff in here about they could make a quantum computer with a blah, 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 but I didn't read that part. So you can read that in the article when we link to it.
Okay.
Next up, you know how on Big Bang Theory,
right?
Sheldon has a select set of t-shirts that he cycles through. Like mm-hmm. You frequently see him wearing this. There's the Flash shirt.
Right.
Probably in the most famous
multiple
one.
Multiple lantern shirts.
Yes.
Different colors.
Yep.
Right.
And there's also that one that he's got that says carbon nanotubes. And it's got like a graphic representation of what nanotubes look like.
Are we going to learn what nanotubes are?
Well, yeah. No. I mean, we're going to learn about the first computer that has been built with carbon nanotubes.
Ooh.
Now, you know what Moore's Law is, right?
Do tell.
I've heard it. Enlighten me. Remind me.
It has to do with current computer technology, i.e. silicon-based, not silicone. Silicon.
Right.
Craig, you're one of those people that says Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
No, that's where the porn is shot.
I know what I like.
All of these things keep getting smaller and smaller, right? The processors. The transistors.
The observation
Go ahead.
That over the history of computing hardware, the number of transistors on an integrated circuit doubles approximately every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that can only go on for so long. And in fact, we're about to bump up against the limits of silicon. You just can't make things any smaller.
Right. And have them function the way you need them
to
function.
Because of the nature of the material that you're using. So there's something has to take over for silicon.
There has to be a leap.
Right. There has to be another material that can go even smaller. Well, they think that carbon nanotubes are it because they function as a semiconductor.
Ooh.
And so these chaps.
Chaps? Are they from Britain?
Stanford. Oh. They're in Silicon Valley.
Stanford chaps.
Have made a very, very tiny computer named Cedric.
Cedric.
Is it Cedric? No, Cedric.
Could be.
Okay. So what does Cedric do? Is he just a computer, or do they have him doing something in particular?
Well, he's a very, very basic computer. Would you like to hear his vital statistics?
Okay.
He's a 1-bit processor. He functioned at a speed of 1 kilohertz. He has 178 transistors. There are 10 to 200 nanotubes per transistor. It's made up of 2 billion carbon atoms. And it can multitask.
So he does Windows.
The quote is from one of his creators. In human terms, Cedric can count on his hands and sort the alphabet.
Okay.
But he is, in the full sense of the word, a computer.
Got to start somewhere.
He's very, very basic.
At some point, there was somebody that created that computer that could count and sort number, or sort the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, oh, and we got to hear from there.
You want to know what a carbon nanotube is?
Sure.
A carbon nanotube is a hollow cylinder composed of a single sheet of carbon atoms. It's the wall.
It's a monoplane.
Is literally one atom thick. But they're tiny.
Yeah, that's really little.
But Sheldon's always talking about using carbon nanotubes to do this or that. He's got his shirt that he wears.
They've brought up carbon nanotubes at different times, and they're talking like when Penny.
Yeah.
When Penny's making the penny blossoms.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out how to make them better.
Yeah.
How to make an assembly line that'll work faster. And what kind of adhesive do they use? Right. There's like carbon nano something or other.
I think it came up when they were trying to assemble her IKEA furniture.
Yeah.
Trying to make it better.
Because they're trying to cool a computer and do all this other stuff. Carbon nano somethings.
So anyway, that's what they're talking about.
All right.
People are actually doing stuff with those things that may or may not make it into your pocket in 10 or 20 years.
Or in 3, for all we know.
Maybe.
That curve just keeps going up and up.
That it does.
I got one more thing.
Okay.
This is under the category of science a-holes.
All right. I'll cue up some rude commentary.
Popular Science, the website popsci.com, which we have linked to before, and we will no longer be linking to.
Okay.
Popular Science, starting today, this was last week, or 2 weeks ago, depending on when you're listening to this, popularscience.com will no longer accept comments on new articles. Here's why. And you gotta read this whole thing. We'll post it.
What's the gist of it?
Comments can be bad for science.
So opinions can be bad is what they're saying.
That's the first sentence. Comments can be bad for science. That's why here at popularscience.com, we're shutting them off.
Oh, jeez.
So your opinion doesn't matter.
So somebody comes in with an opposing view that might make you think, rethink, you know, kind of take a new approach.
Right. And because science is all about taking one side of an argument and sticking to it no matter what.
Yeah. Well done, Popular Science.
A-holes.
Wow.
Wow. I'm passionate about
Screw
that.
Screw you not linking to any more of your articles. God, how brain dead and stupid can you be?
Well, the...
Hire some more people to moderate your comments. The people, don't be so lazy.
The people in Popular Science are getting their feelings hurt.
And as we discussed before, that's all that matters.
Somebody wrote a comment and made them feel bad, and then they had to go get therapy and take medication.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing you can do to anybody is hurt their feelings.
That's right. The worst thing you can do in science is have a debate about anything. Like I said, a-holes.
Wow.
So that's it for news.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. Yeah. Have you heard of Bitcoins, any of you?
I've heard of them, but I'm not. Yes. It's a way to pay for stuff on the internet.
It's a completely virtual money.
Yeah.
Right. It's so progressive now that the government's actually trying to crack down on using Bitcoins, saying that it's illegal to have any kind of currency that they're not.
Other than the currency that they're controlling and overseeing. Yeah,
so if they get their cut.
They want to be able to tax it and regulate it.
And employ people to make it.
Yes.
Even though it costs more than a penny to make a penny. And they're never going to fix our $1 bill because now it's the only bill that doesn't match the set.
Yeah.
Because they're never going to redesign it because nobody counterfeits dollar bills.
Because they're only worth a dollar.
Hey, counterfeiters out there. Not saying you should counterfeit. Just not saying that. Not suggesting that in the least. But.
Especially not now because you could get caught a lot easier.
If you do, you might consider counterfeiting the $1 bill.
A lot.
So that we can make a new $1 bill so that all our money looks the same. Because that's just the aesthetic side of me is saying it's terrible that the $1 bill still looks like it does.
Well, now, weren't they talking about getting rid of
like
it
in 1954?
Aren't we supposed to be replacing it with a
coin? There was talk of that,
coin?
But nobody wants to carry big coins around them.
It didn't go anywhere.
No.
Ugh.
Coin collectors. This we learned from our frequent guest, James.
Uh-huh.
He's been collecting coins.
Does he collect stamps also?
No.
I mean, when you talk about coin collectors, I have this vision of the person. Probably has, you know, like glasses. Mm. Oh, you two have glasses.
Keep talking, smart guy.
Well, yeah, we have a podcast called Nerd Burger. Of course we wear glasses. Hello.
Yeah.
There's actually a word for it, and if we can turn Matthew on.
Whoa. What are we turning Matthew on for? There's a term for it. I don't know what it is. I made one search. I didn't find it, so I'm giving up. Mike, on the other hand, will just keep going, so we'll talk about something else.
No, it's like a currency collection.
Right, but there's a name for... There's a name for anybody who studies something, for, you know, like anything you can think of. There's a name for the person right. that studies it, and it ends with ist.
Really? So
generally speaking, yeah. And for if you collect something, you know, if you fear something, there's a name for that. There's a technical name for the fear of this thing, and there's a technical name if you are a collector of that thing.
Okay, numismatics.
There you go.
So a person who is into numismatics is a numismatist.
Numismatist?
What's the something name like of that. A person who's into collecting pennies?
Pennies?
I mean, you said collect anything. I mean, there might be a person in the world that collects pennies.
Oh, that's a Japanese
said,
person.
I thought you said pennies, and I'm like, I don't think it gets that specific. I think it's just all money together.
I'm going to just gloss right over my little racially insensitive joke
Japanese
there.
Okay. Thing?
Well, you said it.
That's a callback to
Dave and Emily. Yeah.
That being their episode, not the fact that they themselves they collect- are whatever that word is.
Yes.
Petty collectors.
Yeah. You don't need a code word for every single thing out there. Sometimes you can just call it what it is.
So anyway, getting back to James.
Right.
He alerted me to the fact that one of the state quarters, remember those?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've had my little tirade about the Wisconsin quarter. Go ahead.
The Wisconsin quarter, on the back of which is a cow's head, a wheel of cheese with a wedge taken
and an ear of corn.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Where's the football?
Exactly.
Where's the bratwurst? Where's the big pile of snow? The deer
big
head.
Big pile of dirty snow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, apparently on the ear of corn, there's a misprint. Where there's an extra leaf, you know, like the
there's a leaf that shouldn't be there.
There's a leaf that is there that shouldn't be. And it comes in two varieties, a high leaf and a low leaf. And if you find one of those quarters, it's worth a couple $100.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's good to know.
So
start looking for Wisconsin quarters.
Yeah, I know. I got that email from him and told everybody at work, and we started, we're doing a fun fundraising thing. So we've got a big coffee can with a cut in the lid, and people putting a change in there. So we dumped it all out and went through all the quarters. Found one Wisconsin quarter. It did not have the misprint on it. Anyway.
Wow. Little tidbit.
Yes.
Little grammar.
Grammar.
Grammar Nazi, grammar police kind of thing.
Yeah. You got your badge.
Got my little badge to correct and serve.
Okay. Go ahead.
You know how people on the internet, or people in general, but you see it on the internet because you get exposed to a lot of people typing a lot of stuff, will misspell something or I don't even know what to call it. It's not even misspelling. It's they'll use the wrong words. Misheard something and used a different
combination
of syllables. Well, there's there and there, but there's the one that I always see that irritates me is for all intensive purposes.
Oh, yeah, that's what I used to think that was.
It's right.
We've had this conversation.
Well, hold on. But it's not for all intensive purposes. It's for all intents and purposes, yeah. The phrase is. But somebody brought this up, and again, because I'm a Reddit junkie sometimes. I'm a Reddit lurker junkie. I never post there. Brought up this whole thing, but they had just learned that it was for all intents and purposes.
Been there, yeah.
And people got into discussing the other ones that people screw up, and then somebody who is a genius and has a lot of time on their hands wrote a whole little diatribe about people who do things like this but constantly misspelling and mispronouncing and miswording things.
The person who wrote
in their post,
intentionally, yes. Assuming, yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree, but allow me to play doubles advocate here for a moment. For all intensive purposes, I think you are wrong in an age where false morals are a diamond dozen. True virtues are a blessing in disguise. We often put our own false morality on a pedestal stool like a bunch of pre-Madonnas. But you all seem to be taking something very valuable for granted.
Granted.
So I ask of you to muster up all the strength you have, all the strength you can, because a huge ship on your shoulder. In your argument, you seem to throw everything in but the kids in the sink. And when it comes to these types of things, and even though you are having a field day, it just goes on. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the guy who wrote that,
yeah.
Reddit dude, very nice. Sometimes the people on the internet are really clever.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
There you go. Yeah. But I enjoyed pre-Madonna and taken for granted.
Yeah. You're Jimi Hendrix?
Yes.
Okay. You just didn't think it was funny. That's okay.
So there you go.
Yeah. So it keeps going.
Yeah, that's like half the run.
Wow.
Of what he wrote. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but
we'll
hit a couple of the good ones. Yeah,
we'll put that in the show notes.
Maybe I'll have to dig up the.
That in the show notes.
We'll see.
What are you reading it from?
I just copied and pasted it out.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to have to go digging for it in case it went way down the list of the comments.
Okay.
On that thread.
Okay. We'll just paste it into the show notes. Then.
We can do that. So what are you watching? What just wrapped up?
Dexter.
Well, based on the look on your face, I'm guessing you're thinking Dexter.
Yeah,
while I was driving over here, I was thinking, I don't even want to talk about it. But then we're suddenly looking for material.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, Adrian.
Yes, I watched.
You watched. Dexter. Have you watched the whole show, the whole series?
You know, I watched the first three episodes religiously. And then after that, it was sporadic. I just could not force myself to watch it every week.
No, okay. Why is that?
It took a turn. It's just monotonous.
The first three episodes or seasons?
No, the first three seasons.
Okay.
I was going to say, wow.
Yeah, I know.
I meant to say,
watch three episodes religiously.
First three seasons religiously.
Okay. Well, man, unfortunately.
That's a shame because yeah, season four is the best.
You missed
one.
Season four, which is the best of the seasons. My suggestion will be this then. Even though you know how it all ends, go back and watch season four.
It's worth it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Ask anybody. Go yeah,
that's,
go
that's
dig it online.
That's not just our opinion.
Look up on
universally
Google
considered.
Best season of Dexter.
Yeah.
It's going to be nothing but people talking about season four. 90% of people.
Okay. And now that we've said that, don't do it because you don't want the ending spoiled for you. Which you may or may not know what it is, but.
Well, right. Don't actually look it up because people will talk about how the season ends, but. But this season, oh
yeah,
it was
so
disappointing.
Yeah, it's just
across the board.
It just never really got going, and then it ended.
Well,
it was over.
Yeah.
There was no tension.
There was about that off, you know, outside of the podcast. There was never any peril. I never felt like Dexter was ever in any sort of danger.
No, it was all
discovered or caught or anything.
The only peril anyone was in was Hannah. And who cares?
Yeah. I didn't buy that relationship in the seventh season.
Yeah.
Suddenly he's got this, you know, he's in love with this woman who's also a terrible person and a murderer. And
which suppresses his need to kill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, really? Yeah. That's how you cure psychopathy is by having
his dark passenger was replaced by love.
Yeah, but then that's not how it ended because he didn't end up with her.
No.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, you better...
Spoiler.
Everybody, we're going to spoil Dexter. Just did it. Sorry.
Oops.
Yeah, that's the least of the spoilers from the final episode, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's... never felt like anybody was in any peril. throughout the whole episode or throughout the whole season.
At least it didn't end well for a lot of people. I mean, at least they did that.
I mean, but the final ending was just really.
Well, we'll get to it. Let's touch on the season overall. Secondary characters arcs.
Boring.
Yeah, Masuka and his daughter.
Boring.
It's just, hey, look, you have a daughter, and
she laughs like you, and hey, look, she's a topless waitress, so that's kind of funny. It makes Masuka uncomfortable.
Yeah, haha.
And then she comes to work for him, and then it ends.
That's it. Yeah,
and then it's done. And Quinn is in a relationship with somebody that's far too young for. He's in an inappropriate relationship. Surprise.
With his superior's younger sister.
And that goes along, and she keeps accusing him of the same thing over and over. Turns out it's true. He's still got a thing for Deb, and then that ends, and then his story's done.
Yeah.
And Batista, who is the sad sack of the show coming into this final season, if you've watched enough of the episode, Batista's always the guy who's like, everything goes poorly for him. His life is, you know, he's divorced and is estranged from his daughter. And
his second marriage doesn't work out.
Right.
He tries to retire from police and open up a restaurant.
Immediately gets sucked back into it because his second wife is dead.
Yeah.
And he goes back in, and suddenly he's like, well, you know, ostensibly a good lieutenant. He's doing a good job.
Yeah.
But they never really focused a great deal on the actual
No,
he got to like halfway in the season, nobody investigated shit on that show.
He was just there.
Nobody did anything. Yeah, Batista had like nothing.
No significant role.
Other than to pick the other person over Quinn for the sergeant position.
Yeah.
Ugh. Harry was like gone for episodes at a stretch.
Yeah.
Didn't see Harry talking to Dexter. Boring. Harry's awesome. Harry's one of the best things of that show.
I know.
Is when Harry, Dexter's dad, when they have scenes between Dexter and his dead father.
Right.
You know, early in the show, it's flashbacks, and then they go to this like ghostly angel Harry that is his conscience, reinforcing the code. Those are great scenes. Hardly used them.
Yeah.
Hannah, who cares? Hannah was boring. Sorry. I like the actress. I love the show Chuck. That character was ugh. And Deb. Great arc early on.
Mm-hmm.
She's effed up over what happened.
Yeah.
Her life is in a spiral, more so, far more so than we've seen it before. And her life has been in a crappy place a bunch of times during the run of the show. Slowly crawls her way back out of it.
Didn't she get engaged to the ice truck killer? I mean, that's pretty bad.
First season? Did you see that they had the ice truck, the same type of ice truck?
I know, I caught that.
In the final episode. And then here we go. Deb, who started out in Vice and wanted to be in Homicide. Mm-hmm. So she worked hard and she got into Homicide. And then she worked harder and she got her detective shield. And she eventually got promoted to lieutenant. She worked her way all up through all this stuff. And she did all this stuff. And meanwhile, you know, her social life was always, you know, she was always with the wrong guy.
Yep.
But she's worked really hard. She's been Action Deb a lot.
Yeah.
She's been one of the most action-oriented characters on the show. She's out there getting the bad guys, chasing them down. She's firing her gun. She's driving her car fast. She's doing all that kind of stuff. And in the end, she gets a blood clot.
And gets turned into a vegetable.
And dies.
After Dexter unplugs her.
No. She, for all intents and purposes, the character was done.
Well, yeah.
Off screen.
Yeah. Off screen,
They have the on screen, oh, well, she technically died on screen. I'm using dick fingers.
Yeah.
Where he turns the button, presses the button and takes her off life support. But she was already gone. All that happens off screen. Boo! Terrible. I'm done ranting. I'll chime back in. What else do you want to? You both kind of. Nobody's arguing with me.
No, it was horrible. So what I was gonna say. Did they have the same writers?
I believe they had the same showrunner and the same writers from last season, which was an incredibly tense season.
Uh huh.
Not early, but about a third of the way in when LaGuerta started rolling up.
Like, yep.
What's she gonna figure out? What evidence can she find? What can Dexter and Deb cover up?
Mm-hmm.
How can he get out of this one? He actually gets arrested at one point.
Yeah.
Rolls up. She ruins her career over all that. All sorts of, like, what's going to happen to her? This season comes around, none of that. maybe the most disappointing season of television that I have ever watched. Because it was a finale season and it had to do something more.
Yeah, and it seems even worse than it probably actually is because we're watching the best finale season at the same time.
We're watching Breaking Bad at the exact same time. And how does Dexter? How does Dexter end? Go ahead. One of you guys describe it. I'm done yipping.
He fakes his death in the hurricane and
moves to Alaska, it looks like.
Alaska or somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, and he's living alone in some shack as a lumberjack.
Yeah. Yep. Dexter, the serial killer
lumberjack
of murderers, rapists, and child abusers, becomes a lumberjack.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? You know why did he do it? Go fill this one in. He describes in his little monologue at the end why he did it.
Because he ruins everyone's life.
Mm-hmm. He ruins everybody. Everybody that he cares about, he ruins their lives. Hmm. Batista and Quinn, you guys are fucked. Internal Affairs is going to come rolling in there and say, how the hell did this guy in your custody, lead detective on this case and lead detective superior lieutenant, how did you let somebody who doesn't work here anymore, who needs an order from you to go take a gunshot residue test?
Yeah.
The forensics guys don't just go run around making, you know, doing cheek swabs and taking gunshot residue tests on their own. They get an order from the lead detective or somebody there of their superior.
Yeah.
Goes in there and kills this guy, and you let him walk. And apparently, and then on top of it, he can just, you know, walk into a hospital and kill somebody and haul
because everyone's distracted by a storm.
By a storm, yeah. So, Batista, remember how he was the sad sack of the show? Well, he still is. So maybe one thing ended right for a character because he's going to lose his job. He's never going to work as a police officer ever again.
And he may become a serial killer.
And will very likely face indictment and charges. In the real world.
In the real world, not in the TV show world. They wrapped that up pretty nicely.
Yeah, whatever. They both kind of gave Dexter a look and said, man, we get you. I think we got all we need here. Yeah,
they took a lot of liberties with logic.
It was just gaping plot holes.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Allison pointed out we actually had an intellectual discussion while watching television just about Shakespearean tragedy. Kind of, it started out about Breaking Bad and it ended up, like she pointed out, the way that Deb goes away is exactly the way that Ophelia goes away in Hamlet.
I thought the exact same thing. She's wrapped in white and she sinks into the pool, into the water. That's Ophelia's death.
Yeah.
Who is Hamlet's love.
Mm-hmm.
And Deb and Dexter said in the first episode of the show, if there's anybody I love, it's Deb.
Yep.
And probably all the way through the show, maybe is the only person that he has ever truly felt love for. And she sinks into the pool. I was immediately, that thought was immediately offset in my mind as, really, the place where you dumped the
dismembered
corpses of all the murderers and rapists and child abusers that you've killed in the years, that's where you're going to put your beloved sister as well.
Yeah.
Right there in that same cesspool of dead a-holes.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Only
never watching Dexter again.
Yeah.
That's not true. I'll go walk back and watch the fourth season gladly.
Only the last 5 years worth of murders and rapists and horrible people's chopped up corpses. Because remember, the police got the first 20 years worth.
Yes, technically, and technically, they after he couldn't dump in the same spot, so he had to take.
He
had to go further out, much further out. To catch the Gulf Stream so that anything he dumped would end up in, you know, England in a few weeks. And then that episode, it was mentioned that he had to go much further out. And then every episode after that, he went out exactly the same distance because Miami before. Was exactly the same size in the distance. Then he never took another body out that far again because they needed to be able to see Miami.
When they switched writers.
Yeah. But that's okay because Breaking Bad's on tonight.
Yay.
And they've done everything right so far.
And we have no reason to believe that they won't.
No, none whatsoever. But we won't say anything.
No.
We'll save that for down the road a little bit. So, Adrian, since we got you in the house again, still. as this episode airs, it is October. And Halloween's coming up because it's the United States. It's actually been Halloween for like 3 weeks already. Because Halloween starts in like mid-September around these parts. What can you tell us about Halloween?
Let's see, where do we start? The history of Halloween, which is All Hallows Eve. It's really based off of All Saints Day for the Christians.
Which is the next day.
Correct. November 1st.
Right. But it's also based off of the original, I believe it's the Celtics use Shaheem or Shaheem. I'm pronouncing it wrong.
The so. Celtic pronunciations, yeah. We don't expect you. You're not half Celt, are you?
Nah.
Oh, great. Nah.
But I'll wear a skirt just like him.
There you go.
But on that day.
Holy zombie Jesus.
So in the original holiday, in the Celts and Celtic tradition, it was a thinning, that's not even a word. The veil between the worlds thinned, whereas during this period, which was harvest time, the dead could cross over, as well as fairies, as they believed in.
Sure. The denizens of the other realms.
Correct.
Ooh, I don't have any spooky music to play, unfortunately.
So Western society has taken it as trick or treat.
That's quite a leap there.
Yeah. We've taken it to a celebration instead of looking at the harvest time, because this would be the harvest time back in.
I don't know. That's not as much of a leap as a Jesus to bunnies laying chocolate eggs. I think that's a huge larger leap. But anyway, harvest.
But I mean, the Western society uses any reason to party.
That's kind of true.
Harvest time. Let's go trick or treat.
St. Patrick's Day. I'm looking at you.
Yeah. So the traditions in Western society is we dress up as the things that we're afraid of,
or as a sexy something.
And we might like be afraid of that. Because
that's what Halloween costumes are now, right? It's you either take Halloween seriously and you dress up like something scary, or it's just an excuse to be a sexy or slutty or, you know, half naked something.
No, I think you can dress up as your hero too. That's pretty common.
Yeah, people like to let their inner freak out also.
Okay.
No, I'm saying it's not necessarily just scary things or sexy things.
Yeah, but I was hyperbole that I was using there.
You were hyperboling?
I was being hyperbolic. Yes.
So
I was exaggerating for effect.
Do you guys have any ideas on what you might do for Halloween? Might dress up as?
Well, I have a friend who's been talking about having a Halloween party, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
So I have had no occasion, so maybe, and have no occasion to dress up for Halloween since forever ago. So,
do you want to dress up for Halloween for the podcast, for the episode that we record right before Halloween?
So you can look at each other.
Well, we'll take pictures. No?
Maybe.
That's a no.
It's probably a no.
I haven't done a lot of Halloween stuff in recent years, but you know,
so are you gonna?
It was a big deal when I was a kid.
Are you gonna go to this costume party if it happens?
Likely.
Are you gonna dress up? Would you go to a costume party not in costume?
No, okay. No. So if everybody's gonna be dressed up, I'll find something.
What's the best costume you've seen?
Oh, geez. Well, there was the Sharknado. Yeah. We put up on the website recently the best costume I've seen, like when I was out actually doing the Halloween thing. It's too easy to just say, well, I saw this online or I went to a convention and saw this.
Seen in person.
And I'm going to narrow this to that I've seen in person at a Halloween party.
Okay. Better.
I saw a couple. I did not know them. They were at a party where I knew like half the people there and the other half I didn't know. There were I believe dating couple, man and woman. And she was kind of tall for a woman and he was rather slight of build for a guy. So physically they were very similar body size, you know, body height and shape and everything. And she dressed up, I want to say it was probably something from some book or comic or something like that, but she was kind of scary looking. She had, you know, kind of creepy clothing on, and she had a weird makeup, and there was blood, and she had a knife, you know, plastic knife and everything. And he dressed up and was wearing a black wig and a full black outfit, including a black fake boobs, and was her shadow. And would walk around right behind her, and then, you know, and he never spoke that I saw.
Wow.
And she would sit there and have conversations and everything, and he would be there, you know, doing the best he could to mimic her. But then every so often he would stop mimicking her and go like he was going to stab somebody else. It was kind of neat. they worked on like kind of syncing themselves up a little bit to do that.
Yeah.
So it was like a little bit of a performance piece as well. That was neat.
Cool.
And it was creepy. It wasn't, you know, she wasn't dressed as like, you know, some slutty something or other. And then he was her shadow running around kissing people or
grinding on people.
Oh. No, it was a creepy thing.
Yeah.
You?
Oh, that's the kind of thing that that I don't keep in RAM. It's been so long, like I said, and this hard drive is not indexed, so I couldn't possibly come up with that on the spot. No, I have no idea.
Well, what was your favorite Halloween costume as a kid?
Don't even remember my own.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you do? Well, you were Dracula. You were a vampire once. We talked about that,
yep,
didn't we?
That was lame.
Were you ever a hobo? As a kid, where you smeared
with a stick with a handkerchief,
the stick with a handkerchief and stuff in it, and
there was
smeared
one,
black shoe polish on your face to look like a 5 o'clock shadow. And
there was one that I remember that my my dad came up with, I think. And
should be entertaining, Mike's dad.
No, this was before he was the way he is now.
Did something happen to him? Did he get bonked on the head like King Tut in the old Batman series, turned into somebody?
No, it's been a gradual shift over the years.
Okay. You don't happen to have any video of him with sound of like
him being normal?
Yeah. Because I'd love to see what Tim was like before.
No, we were not a camcorder family. And
so anyway, he came up with a costume.
Right. And it was, and I don't know where he saw this, but it was, he made like out of like 1x lumber, like sticks that I could hold onto.
Sure.
A T, a big giant T, and it was maybe
a big T shape,
3 feet across at the top and probably 4 or 5 feet tall. And I just held onto this thing like this.
Okay.
And then there was I think we took an old white sheet and we completely covered the whole thing all the way down to like my waist. And then at my waist, we tied like a shirt and a jacket around me, like one of his old jackets and ties or shirt and a tie and a jacket.
Okay.
And then just my feet.
I'm trying to figure out what the hell this is.
Sitting out the bottom like I had really, really short legs.
Okay.
And so, and then we painted a big face on this thing.
Okay.
So it was just like this humongous head with this giant face and then this little body at the bottom.
Going,
and I had to like, you know,
hobble, wobble kind of as you walked.
Yeah, walk a little bit. And I had fake arms like hanging way down.
They're flapped around.
And then I had a hole in the mouth where I could reach out and take the candy and bring it in. And then I had my plastic jack-o'-lantern bucket that I normally carried around was actually inside the head. And I would just take the candy in my hand and dump it in there and then go on. It was so bizarre.
I was going to say, that's really weird.
I know. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know where he got the idea.
Because you're talking about you make a T-shape and you tie a sheet to it. It's like, was he a ship? Did they make him into is that a sail? Okay.
Okay. That's interesting.
That's...
Definitely.
That's something.
That's the one I really remember because it was weird because I was inside this thing the whole time.
I think the one I remember is was in Kuwait 2 years ago. Person was dressed up like a wall. I mean, just like flat the wall, and he had balls on it. And the whole concept was balls to the wall.
Oh, jeez. Okay, that's, you know what?
I thought that was so
that's
creative.
True. That's true. That's another category of things that are out there for Halloween costumes is the wordplay. Like they dress up like some phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
like Jim,
half the people...
Jim on the Office with book written across his face.
Yeah.
And then dress normally.
Yeah, he's Facebook. Mm-hmm. Wah, wah. Or the you know, that's the ironic look at me, I'm doing as little as possible, but making a joke. And then there's the ones who do this like really out there stuff and
like the Sharknado.
They have to explain to you what it is, like Sheldon being the Doppler effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, there. But you see that too, they make that into a joke on sitcoms and things too, where somebody's dressed up and people are like, what the hell are you? And they have to explain it. And then it's like, oh, that's cute. Or not.
So wouldn't it be great for your listeners to like post pictures of their Halloween experience?
Can people post on our website?
They could send the pictures to us at the Gmail address.
That's
and
true.
We could post for them. I don't think you can post pictures in the comments.
I don't think so.
Somebody commented on 2 weeks ago's show.
Oh, we had a comment? Woo. We got another iTunes review. We're up to seven.
Really? Wow. No, Kurt's friend Rusty.
Oh, Rusty, who we called out on the show.
Yeah.
Did he say thanks for the shout out?
Something like that, yeah.
Ridiculous.
So, Rusty, if you're listening,
oh, geez.
We're shouting out back to you again. Let's make it a thing. And by let's make it a thing, I mean let's not.
I found a hurt feelings report.
Aww.
Hurt feelings report.
Yeah. You can fill this out. We'll post it on the website. We'll link to it. It's got a date, spot for the date, time of hurtfulness. And then you got to pick A, B, C, D, or E. Or you got to fill out the information for each one. Which ear were words of hurtfulness spoken into? Left, right, or both? Is there permanent feeling damage? Yes or no?
Wow. I didn't know that was possible.
What feeling got hurt? Oh. A, my last feeling. B, second to the last feeling. C, third to the last feeling. D, other. Reasons for filling out this report. Please circle yes or no. I am thinly skinned. I am a pussy. and then there's some other kind of rude ones. I am a crybaby. I want my mommy. All of the above. The name of the, quote, real man who hurt your sensitive feelings. And it goes from there. So maybe we should, I should carry some of these around with me. Can hand them out to people when I say something insensitive and they say that I hurt their feelings.
Did I really? Here, I have a survey for you.
Make sure send this in. We'll process it and we'll get right back to you.
Yep.
No. Is that it?
A couple more minutes. You okay, got something?
I got. What do you got? Talk. Say something.
Something.
We're not just going to run that for the rest of this. Nothing but applause. What are you doing after this? You got to go do something.
Yeah, I got to go do something.
Got to go do
some stuff.
Husband. I almost said husband responsibilities, and that sounds like, oh, he's going to.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's got to. You got something going on to help with.
Yep.
That the wife is involved with in your.
No, no.
No, this is just you?
This is just me and my at my work.
Oh, at your work. Okay, so it's a work thing.
Kind of.
Seminar. I was thinking of something that Allison next you into.
It's a work extracurricular activity.
Oh. So you're going to have your page, your picture on another page of the insert company name here, your yearbook. You won't just be listed in the employee section. You'll be listed in the special activities.
Maybe, yeah.
That's what I got.
So either of you have anything going on this week?
This week, busy. Work stuff busy. I got my computer right here, this little computer right here that you're looking at. This might be the last time that I use this computer in this current configuration because I don't think I have anything really that I need to do for the rest of the day. And then starting tomorrow evening after work, I have backed everything up and I am stripping it to the bones and putting a new operating system on it and building it all back up.
Going to Windows 8?
7. Pff, 8. I like my start button. I tend to not adopt the most recent thing anyway because I always assume there's some sort of bug in it that I'm not going to like.
So your assumptions would be correct.
Yeah. Now I'm going up to 7, so that'll catch me up to
so what do you
not
on?
Be quite so.
XP right
I'm
now?
On XP right now.
Oh my gosh, you're like hacker's paradise.
Yeah, that's pretty much what your problem was, isn't it?
Well, I didn't get hacked. I was stupid and allowed myself to download something. And I've got it working, and there's some glitchy stuff, and I could probably dig it all out. I could spend the time to dig it all out. But I'm thinking, I could spend weeks digging this all out, or I could just say, screw it, strip it down, get Windows 7 on there, reload, download what I need, blah, 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 all that stuff, and no longer be in danger of having a completely obsolete operating system. Because it's not too far down the road here that you're going to be getting software that won't run on XP.
Yeah.
And so I got to get out ahead of the curve a little bit more, get a couple versions up. So that's my week. Rebuilding my computer with Matthew. Yeah.
Or one version up if you don't count Vista, which Microsoft would appreciate if you didn't.
That's like Emmy. They don't talk about that one either.
The Millennium Edition.
Nothing to see here. Move along. I'm going to a wedding.
Oh.
Woo-hoo.
A funeral. Congrats.
What?
A funeral. He's making a wedding joke.
Oh. Wah, wah.
It's the death of the husband's freedom. Probably the wife's too.
Ooh, sorry, Ryan and Stephanie.
No, Ryan and Stephanie, I'm sure you'll be very happy together.
And live in marital bliss.
We at Nerdburger would like to congratulate you on your upcoming, soon to be fully taken care of and squared away and letter of the law and nuptials.
Yes, your legal day.
Your legal day.
That's literally what it is, your legal day.
Yeah. Since they were
like some comedian, I can't
effectively
remember.
Married years ago.
I think it's Doug Stanhope makes the joke. Hey, baby, you know, this thing we got going, this thing where we love each other and we're committed to each other and we're going to be with each other for the rest of our lives. We got to get the government in on this shit. Ain't no way just the two of us could enjoy this.
And that's when it goes all downhill.
Yeah. Some people would add God to that.
Yeah.
Us too. Get God in on that shit.
All righty. Adrian.
Thanks again.
Thank you for being awesome and cool and hanging around one more time. Hey, you're right up there with Andy.
Wow.
For doing the
two in a row
when the episode with the first episode with Andy went bad and he hung around and recorded a whole second episode with us.
Hey, I'm gonna get a Happy Meal after this.
Something like that. Hey, grab your Happy Meal. Now, if it's on the seat
I gotta grab it.
Or he could buy all of the Happy Meals and put them together and make one super Happy Meal.
The Mick every happy.
Yes. That could be the episode title if we hadn't already figured that out.
Yeah, because we did a shtick.
Oh.
Hey, Mike.
They can find us
at
nerdburgershow.com, at nerdburgershow on the Twitter, nerdburgershow on Facebook, something called Stitcher, and iTunes. Blah, blah. You'll probably stop talking about Stitcher. Right? I've mentioned it like half a dozen shows in a row. I mean, we don't say iTunes. We, you know, it's the same thing, right? So
right. It's up to you. You're the one who does the talking for this part.
I'm just thinking out loud.
We could have discussed this beforehand
instead of live on the air
right now. Adrian, what do you think? Should we just keep listing all the things where they can find the podcast?
I think you should just post it on the website.
All right. And there we have it.
Yeah.
And email us your pictures of your favorite childhood or other Halloween costume. Nerdburgershow@gmail.com.
Or send us some ideas.
On the next episode of Nerdburger, Mike and Craig go through all of the photos that their listeners send them and discover that they're mostly just pictures of penises. I'm just assuming that people are going to send us joke stuff.
No junk. Please don't send us your junk. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh my God, Brett Favre listens to the show. Try getting a reservation at Dorsey now, you fucking stupid bastard! You fucking bastard!